Thank you for your presence here this morning. God bless you. I just want to be a faithful servant here today. You may think, how can you preach two times, two consecutive weeks? That's not a burden for me. I enjoy sharing, and I want to share this morning something that God has laid on my heart. And I have appreciated your feedback. Some of you have expressed, a number of you have expressed appreciation that last Sunday I had this little drawing on the board and on this little stand here. And so I made another one for today. And I just want to, sometimes when we get a visual of what I'm talking about, it seems to be better understood. Today, I want to talk about a subject that I can't complete today. I thought I could, but once I got into it, I discovered that I can't complete. And the message today is actually more on the negative side, and I sure don't like to end messages on the negative side because I'm not going to be able to give you solutions today. Lord willing, my next message, I will give you solutions. I will tell you how to get rid of what I'm going to talk about today. And so, saying that, all of us are on a journey. And it seems like I sense deeply that God has given different gifts. There are people that, as we sang here this morning, there are people that their whole life is spent on sharing the gospel with the unsaved. And I bless those people. God has a very definite place in life for people that are evangelists. It's actually a calling of God where people have a message that they just feel that they have to share with the unsaved. It's not that I don't have a message to share with the unsaved. I do. I have talked to quite a number of unsaved people about the hope of Christ within my life, and I enjoy doing that. That's really not my primary gift. My primary gift is other Christians. I have watched Christians my whole life. And just this week, we heard of an account of a young man that had confidence in his minister, church leader, only to find out that his minister, the church leader, was living in sin. Later, he went to a Bible school and had a very similar experience where he connected, very clearly connected with one of the Bible school teachers, only to find out later that this Bible school teacher was living in sin. This, in turn, turned him against the gospel. And that's my cry today. The issue is not the unsaved out there. If the believers that are in this building here today have a true understanding of God, those unbelievers will hear the gospel. And the believers that are here will be on a journey where if you want to, as a believer, you can understand. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, it talks about this verse that I have quoted many times to you. That's the verse where it says that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. And I just remember what happened to me the first time I read that. Because I just sat back in my chair, put up my hands to God and said, God, I don't know what this is. I don't know from experience what it is to be filled with the fullness of God. And I said, God, I'm not going to give up with you until I know in my heart what it means to be filled with the fullness of God. Another verse that I have often, that I've known my whole life, probably. And that's the verse in James 4, verse 8, where it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That's a very familiar verse, But it's a verse that escapes a lot of people. It's a verse that people are saying, how do I do this? How do I actually come close to God? And that's my message today. Today, my message is on the journey of the pathway to God. And I've actually entitled my message, The Unhindered Pathway to God. Because that's the provision that all of us have in our everyday walk of life, in our everyday journey. I'm not talking about today the initial receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. I am talking today about people that have said, I am a believer. And I have watched these people's lives. We've had calls after calls after calls into our home of people that are saying, I am a believer in Christ in regard to my salvation, but I sure don't know how to live this Christian life. And you know, what happens then is we have these mental things in our, we have these mental pictures in our mind of what Christianity should look like. And so we some way conform ourselves to that mental picture of what Christianity should look like. And there are many people that have done this performance thing in regard to the Christian life in a very spectacular way. So precisely that it's very difficult sometimes to even identify that they may not be a believer. I also believe that there are people in church that are not believers. I believe there are people here, and I don't want to say here, but I'm saying in our environment, there are people that absolutely look right. They act right. But they do not know God in their heart. Where they have said, I'm a sinner. And God, there's only one way for me to not be a sinner. There's only one way for me to be a saint, to be righteous, to be holy, and that is through Christ. I just want us to realize that once we are believers, that's when the battle begins. Now, what's nice about this battle is that we already know what the outcome of this battle is if we're in Christ and we understand from the scriptures how we can live this Christian life in a way where Christ Jesus is our victory. There's so many things I could talk about here today, but that's really not my subject. But there's so many things that Christ will be our victory when we have a belief about the full work of Christ in our heart and we understand that. But there are many people that don't understand that. And they're born again and they're trying their best in the Christian life. And I'm just going to show you what this looks like. I'm just going to show you what this looks like. There are believers down here, and just for a drawing, I put God up here. And you'll notice that I put a number of things that along the side, I put fear, believing lies, past hurts, pains, and abuses, and a lack of passion and pride. And these are not exclusive at all. This is just an example of what happens. And I tried to make this drawing with intent. And if you'll notice that some of these marks come in much, much farther than others. That's because believers have different struggles. For some, fear is not an issue at all. And I tell you, I have observed how believers There are believers that this fear comes over here almost to this line and pretty well chokes out the Christian life because they live in fear. Fear of what? Fear of the unknown. That's what fear is all about. Fear is the mental expectation of something evil or negative that is about to occur in the future. That's what fear is. It is the mental expectation of something evil or negative about to occur in the future, all of which a person has no influence in regard to control. Think about it. People are fearful of things that they have no control over, and it's always in the future. It's something that they anticipate, and this fear totally incapacitates them. And if you'll notice, these believers are trying to weave their way through all of these things to some way be with God or understand God or walk with God. And that's where, I want to say this kindly, but that's really where I see a lot of believers living, is this picture right here. I see a lot of believers trying to live their life and they're weaving their way to God, but these things are right around them. And the other thing that you notice as I drew this picture, there's a reason that I put these arrows down like this. Because what happens, you're going through the Christian life and all of a sudden you find yourself here and you can't go further. You can't go further. You get caught in here. And all of a sudden you have to identify, kind of back down and get out around that. And it's interesting how this whole thing, this concept, once you understand this concept and understanding God, you can put a lot of other things here. Understanding my spouse. What are some of these things that keep you from understanding your spouse? Understanding God, understanding your spouse, understanding your boss. You just look at life and you can put about anything that you want up here and you start actually talking about what are the hindrances? What are the restrictions? And all of a sudden, you're going to see some things that are coming in here, may come in here quite a ways that are really blocking you from where you want to be. My example here today is simply my view of God and where I want to be. And I just want us to be very honest about this drawing. I want us to be very honest as believers. Because this drawing here is a very pertinent drawing for our day and age. For our day and age. There are people that look at God and are fearful of God because of how God appeared in the Old Testament. Do you remember how God appeared to Israel when Israel was at the base of Mount Sinai and God showed up? God showed up and all of a sudden they look up there to the top of the mountain and they see smoke just billowing out of that mountain. The next thing they know, there's earthquakes, there's fire, there are all kinds of things, and the people become petrified, and Moses is somewhere up in there. They saw Moses go up this mountain, and all of a sudden, Moses disappears, and God shows up, and when Moses comes back down, the people can't even look at him, because he's so glistening with the presence of God. Now, how did Jesus come? Jesus didn't come with earthquakes. Jesus didn't come with a big bang. Hey, folks, pay attention, here I am. That's not how Jesus came. He came as this little baby. Nobody knew he was, a lot of people didn't even know he was born. It was in quietness. I had never thought about that. how God showed up in the New Testament in an entirely different way than he did in the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, it was all about doing. In the New Testament, it's all about being in Christ. And that's what my next message is going to be. When I think about fear, fear is an extremely strong emotion. Fear, in fact, the Bible talks about in the end times, it's talking about people are going to be having heart attacks probably by the thousands because of fear. That's what the Bible says. Luke 21. Go and read it there. You will see that men's hearts failing them for fear. That means that there's going to be a time when we're going to see our eternal, our material possessions lost. Everything we've worked for, our homes, our savings accounts, everything we've worked for, there's going to come a time when all of that's going to be lost. And when people see this occurring, they're going to die by the thousands of heart attacks. That's what the scriptures say. And again, we all know that fear is not to be a part of the believer. Believing lies. We've had discussions here about lies and people believing lies. I don't know how that all is. I'm going to just tell you exactly that I don't have the answers for all of this. But one thing that I did do is I started going into the scriptures and I started looking at lying. And I discovered that in 2 Corinthians 11, this is what it says. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that verse seems to indicate that the enemy uses the mind to accomplish his purposes, our minds. So the enemy may be coming and putting lies into our mind, just exactly what he did to Eve. The lie he put, he first made a situation, created a situation where there was doubt. And then there was an outright lie. And Eve believed that lie, and she fell into sin. Now, there are people that are believing all kinds of lies. There are people that are believing all kinds of lies. And there are people that when they face struggles, all of a sudden the thought comes into their mind that, you know, you're really not worthy to be forgiven because of all the sins you've committed. That thought comes into people's minds. I can tell you how many times that has occurred. People have called me. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, I had a conversation with a man that called me late one evening. And he said, Delbert, he said, I can't get over all of my sins of the past. And he was crying. And he said, Delbert, he said, my sins of the past are so huge. I took my whole family out into the world, he said. And he said, I taught my family how to live in the world. And he said, I have repented of all of that, but I can't really believe that God has forgiven me for what I did. Is that truth or is that a lie? We all know that that's a lie. We all know, because the scriptures teach us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are lies like that. I don't know how that all takes place. But this verse here in 2 Corinthians 11 seems to indicate that it had to do with the mind of Eve, because it says, so your mind should not be corrupted, or should So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So I'm just entertaining that thought. People look at where they've been in the past, and they make judgment calls based on how they feel about that, based on what they perceive about that. And remember, that's all tied into this whole thing right here. When you have all of these thoughts, the deep grooves in your brain about your past and how bad it was, that doesn't necessarily change just overnight. It takes the grace of God, and I'll talk more about that. And when I think about believing lies, that's a trap that many people get caught in. That is a huge restriction on their journey to God. Past hurts, pains, and abuses, those are huge issues. Those are huge issues. There are people that just can't get past certain things. I want to be very kind to you, but I want to tell you that those hurts, pains, and abuses of the past do not need to control you. Those are monkeys on your back that God has made a provision for to not be there. To not be there. And you know, I told you last Sunday that your family environment when you were growing up, just this week we were having conversation with individuals that demanded, a mother demanded extreme loyalty in regard to performance. Her daughter, the only way that she could be approved by her mom is she accomplished enough work. And is not accomplished enough work. It was accomplished in the way that mom wanted it, with perfection. And now this lady is a married lady. And guess what she's struggling with? Performance. See, she's struggling with performance. She thinks that she needs to do things to be loved by her husband. She needs to do things to be accepted by the other ladies in church. And depending on what personality you have, this is extremely binding. This is a huge restriction. We'll talk about how you get rid of that in my next message. It's not my message today, but we'll talk about how you get rid of those hurts, pains, abuses of the past. Of the past. Something that I'm learning about this journey in talking to people, I'm learning that people want to be close to God. I'm learning that people want this relationship to be a deep, satisfying relationship. But one thing that I have noticed is I have noticed that many people have a lack of passion regarding the Christian life. And I don't know what you're thinking of when I think of a lack of passion. But when I think about a person that has lack of passion is a person that has simply given up on this journey. He's a person that has looked at everything that has happened in life and has said, I can't take more. There have been maybe the house burnt down, had a car wreck, a granddaughter died. The list goes on and on and on and on. And finally people come to the place where they say, God, I can't take it anymore. I'm done. Something else that I notice is that people get overwhelmed with the cares of this life. If you go into the Gospels and you read the accounts about the seed that was sown, and you look at the account of the seed that was sown in the thorns, the thorns are indicative of the cares of this life. And there are people that simply get so discouraged about all of the work of a family. Mothers go through this. Fathers go through this because finally we say, I have worked my whole life, and what do I have in return? I'm still in debt and I'm 70 years old, or whatever it may be, and we simply lose heart because the cares of this life are too cumbersome. I want us to think about lack of passion. See, when you have no goals, you have nothing to work for. When you don't have any spiritual goals, you have nothing to work for. And I would like to talk to you men. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, I think you should talk to Albert. And the reason I use Albert is because Albert has been up here and has shared messages. And if you want to talk to Albert and find out how much he studied for these messages, and you find out from Albert how easy it is that he's no longer doing that, to not study to the same degree, just talk to him. And we expect to have a very high passion in serving Christ, but we don't discipline ourselves. And one of the things that is a very big issue with lack of passion is a lack of discipline. Where we want to be on fire with God, on fire for God. We want to have the zeal of God burning in our hearts. But how does it get there? How does it get there? What makes that you have a zeal? Are you going to be strong physically if you do nothing? What could I use as an illustration? You eat about 25 Cheerios every morning. Are you going to be strong physically if you eat 25 Cheerios every morning? Absolutely not. You all know what happens, but that's how we kind of live the Christian life, is we read enough in the Scriptures just to taste that it's Cheerios. We read just enough in the Scriptures to say, I read my Bible a day. And then we can't figure out why we don't have passion for that which is right and holy and just. Why we don't have a passion to study the Scriptures. It's like, okay, I'm just going to be satisfied with 25 Cheerios. Marcus is going to go to the factory and he's going to work hard all day long. He'll soon find out that 25 Cheerios doesn't cut it. Neither does reading a snatch of the Scriptures, praying a minute or two. Neither does that cut it. I just want to be very kind with you, brothers. Brothers, if you want to have a strong family, you must immerse yourself in the Scriptures. You must immerse yourself in a relationship with God where you love praying, you love interceding, you love studying the Scriptures. More about that in my next message. But when I think about a lack of passion, I'm thinking about, really, you don't have a direction. Where do I really want to go in my Christian life? Your energy's gone. You really don't even understand and know the promises of God. These are all things that, again, that come into play as we talk about how do I have a passion. There's some words in the Scriptures that are used. It says like this, let us not be weary in well-doing. That's what happens we become weary in well-doing. The scriptures uses, he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. And the scriptures make illustrations of that in regard to being faint. And I want to encourage you to look at those words. What does it mean to be weary in well-doing? What does it mean to be faint? What does it mean to have a weight? Hebrews 12 talks about the weight which does so easily beset us. What does it mean to have a weight? You know, some of these weights are this thing right here, these hurts, pains, abuses of the past. Those are weights. And that's why this message is here today, is because this message here today is a message where I want you to put into words. I would really want you to sit down with your wife and say, what are the restrictions in our relationship? What are the hindrances? Together, what are the hindrances between us and God? And you start identifying. And that's one of the keys that I'm going to talk about in my next message, is one of the keys. Most of the time, people don't even know that these issues exist. You know that? Lots of time, people don't even know that these issues exist. People tell me, Delbert, I'm not hooked to my past. People are hooked to the past. Most of the time, people don't even know. Pride is so elusive. We have been taught that pride means that I lift myself up as higher than everybody else. And the Bible says that that's something we should not do. It is indicative of pride. It is. Because the Bible uses the words, the words that the Bible uses is not to esteem ourselves higher. But you know, the other side of pride is I'm worthless. That's the other side of pride. Because that is also an undue opinion about yourself. When we view ourselves as absolutely worthless, I can't do anything right. It's the same spirit as the spirit that lifts me up above everybody else. These are very elusive things. There's lots of people that are going, lots of believers that are going through life, and they're not even aware what is going on here. And then when I talk to these people, because I have studied this, I have been able to talk to some of these people. You know, sometimes I ask the question, have you ever considered this, this, and this? And it's like, no, I'm not. Well, let's talk about it. And all of a sudden, the light comes on that these are the restrictions. There are all kinds of hindrances. There are all kinds of depths that come across our journey. I'm just going to stop with that, and I want to ask you a question. Is there any of you here today that are trapped with any of these? I know that's a very personal question, but God is wanting me to ask this question. Are any of you here today that are trapped by any of these five? If you have a testimony about any of these five, I would like to hear that testimony the next time I have a message. So please prepare yourself. If you have a testimony in regard to any of these five. But I want to tell you something, brothers. If And there's more things. See, I could have made this list pretty large. Another something that I was contemplating about putting on there is secret sins. You know, we've already talked about that this morning, where we do not want to disclose sometimes what is hidden. And I want to tell you, as long as that sin remains a secret, as long as that sin remains a secret, it really affects your relationship with God. It really. There's others. There are other things that I could have put on here. I could have put on this whole thing about doubting God's promises and how we do that. I had a number of things that I was going to put on here, and I said, no, the list gets too big. I just want a few things that we can relate to that will give us a start on how we can identify what these hindrances are. And remember, the title of my message is The Unhindered Journey to God, because that's the provision that God has made. And so in my next message, I want to talk about that. But pride is evidence when we want to control others. Pride is evidence when we compare ourselves with others. And of course, we're always the one that can manage money the best and that can drive, get the best deal on a car, all kinds of things where we compare. I've learned that comparing thing is very subtle. I am not at all, when I look at this, I'm not at all saying these past hurts, pains, and abuses are not real. Some may be imaginary, but I don't want to at all imply that they're not real. Believing lies, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, is what the scripture says we need to do. I just want us to think about the question. Are any of us here today struggling with any of these? I want to suggest, if you're married, talk to your spouse about any of these. We must begin dialogue. You must begin to be open. We must begin to talk. Cry out to God. Cry out to God. God has heard my cries. God has heard my pleas. God has seen my tears. When I cry out to God in desperation, God hears us. Cry out to God. Next time I have a message, I would really appreciate hearing some testimonies of how God has delivered you from these entrapments. Pray that God will open your eyes, that you can see these entrapments, these hindrances. If you see yourself weaving through these up to God, there's hindrances. May God bless you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, our Father.